You are now listening to the Experience Magazine podcast in association with CEIA. Thank you for listening. This podcast is only made possible by listeners like you. We appreciate you, and we hope that you continue to experience with us. Today's episode, we have Joseph Catrino, Executive Director of Student Success and Career Development at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. Joe leads a team of highly dedicated professionals within the Center for Student Success and Career Development, who represent the offices of career development, international students and scholars, and student success. Joe's expertise includes his focus on life design and design thinking work, in which he encourages individuals to be innovative in their ability to problem solve, especially as it relates to planning and executing personal and professional life goals. Through his teaching and knowledge, the design thinking framework, Joe has been instrumental in transforming the way students think and problem solve their career goals. Joe has over 18 years of experience in higher education in various capacities, including admissions, enrollment, marketing, and career development at institutions such as Quinnipiac University, Yale University, and the University of Hartford. Since Joe joined Trinity in 2015, he has strategically collaborated with colleagues across campus to identify, implement creative and forward-thinking programs and initiatives that address evolving employment and education trends, such as connecting the liberal arts to real-world success and fully supporting college's mission. Joe serves as an agent of change and continues to represent Trinity in a progressive way by sharing his passion for design thinking, personal branding, and preparing students for the future of work through both his presenting and various conferences across the U.S., as well as teaching first-year seminar courses. Joe holds an MBA from Quinnipiac University, an MA in communication from the University of Hartford, and a BA in History and Communication/Public Relations from Marist College. Please enjoy this episode with Joseph Catrino.
Welcome, everyone, to the Experience Magazine podcast. Again with you, Eric Allenson and my co-host, Dr. Michael Sharp. Mike, great to see you again. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time, Eric. It's good to see you again also. I'm really excited about this new platform that we're trying out, StreamYard. We have moved from face-to-face and doing radio shows in Bearcast Media, that's UC's studio. And then we tried Zoom for a while, and that was okay. And now I think we've landed on a new platform that I think has more bells and whistles. I think the production quality is a little bit better, which we really need to overcome your lack of talent on air.
Mike, that's highly insulting of you to frame it that way. I was going to give a big shout out to Julius and Richie, our co-producers of the show, for finding the StreamYard platform and really steering us in this direction, because I think we are producing much more quality at this point as opposed to kind of when you were in charge of things.
And well, that's not a very high bar to reach, but I would agree with you there. We have a wonderful guest on today, Joseph Catrino from Trinity College. Joe is also affiliated with CEIA, the Cooperative Education and Internship Association, who is, after all, the host of this podcast. And I've been really excited to get Joe on the show, one, because he and I have somewhat similar backgrounds. We're both communication people, studied that, those sets of theories that we believe make the world turn in certain ways. And two, Joe is an expert on a term, Eric, that you and I have been hearing more and more about, which is design thinking. So, Eric, yeah. I say we go ahead and jump into it and introduce Joe to the show. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. Joe, how are you today?
Doing all right, Michael. How are you?
Doing fantastic. It is so good to see your face and to hear your voice.
Likewise.
Joe, I think I came to know you when I joined CEIA. I believe you were already a member, and you've been doing some fantastic things with that organization and within the field. But for the listeners that don't know about you, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do? Why do you do it?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. And thanks for having me here today. I'm really appreciative of the opportunity to talk to you guys. So I've been what I would call a higher ed lifer, with the exception of a quick blip in the media industry when I worked at ESPN right out of college. I was a liberal arts student who had no idea what he wanted to do, and sort of just tried different things and fell into higher education through admissions and admissions marketing. And then ultimately as an adjunct faculty member at Quinnipiac University in here in Connecticut. And after some time of teaching in the media industry, I stumbled into an opportunity in career development in 2011. And it was really, for me, a full circle opportunity. And I was working with students in the classroom, but working with them, you know, beyond their time in college and into their careers was really something that I valued and is really brought me to where I am today. And so for me, I do everything I do for students. I believe in that, that mantra that, you know, we're only as good as our students. And I think for us, you know, I personally just really find a lot of value. I get a lot of meaning and purpose out of helping students get to where they are, you know, helping them through their transitions into college, through college, and then ultimately post-college. And so here at Trinity, I'm the executive director of student success and career development, and I oversee the Center for Student Success and Career Development and our Office of International Students and Scholars. I'm also a first-year seminar instructor and academic advisor. And so we work a lot with Trinity students here in Hartford around ultimately their life and career design, helping them get comfortable being in higher education and in college and adjusting, but then ultimately having them become informed decision makers about their careers and their post, I guess, college life. And so for me, it's been a tremendous joy to work with the students here, and I got some tremendous, you know, faculty and administrative partners here on campus, and so it's been, you know, a really good experience for me. Now that I've been here 5.5 years at Trinity, and as you mentioned, Michael, I've been on the board of the Cooperative Education Internship Association since I think about 2013, 2012, something right around there, in two different roles, focused on marketing and communications for a while, and then now as the vice president for professional development. So I really believe in, you know, giving my time out, because, you know, our board really functions around what's best for our students. How can we help our colleagues bring back, in through professional development, through meeting other people, you know, how can they bring back really cool programs, cool different ideas to their institutions so that they can directly apply it to their worker students and their experiential learning.
Joe, I'm really intrigued by this concept of design thinking. And yeah. Mike and I are not experts in this space at all, but we're beginning to hear these rumblings with our colleagues, particularly those with liberal arts or some of the design backgrounds that are talking about design thinking and idea iteration and things around this. I'm wondering, because that seems like it's a significant piece of your experience, and you kind of are an expert in this space. Can you talk to us a little bit about what is design thinking, and then how does that integrate with your work in work-integrated or experiential learning?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. That's a great question. So I'm you know, as Michael alluded, I'm a communications guy. I believe in the value of storytelling. So I always like to start off with a story. I think it encapsulates and brings to light all the details that we've been working on. In February of 2017, my former boss handed me a book called Designing Your Life. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when your boss hands you a book about designing your life, lots of questions come up. Like, what are you trying to tell me here? I need to be looking for a new job, right? So he hands me this book. He's, Joe, you got this. I just read it. Written by Bill Burnett and Dave Evans, two Stanford faculty members over in the D School at Stanford. And he said, read this. So I take time. I go through it. And my mind's like just exploding with ideas and thoughts. And I actually ended up reading it twice just because I wanted to just the language, the message really spoke to me. And so I really just embraced the book. From there, my former boss said to me, hey, they're running Stanford. That is, the D School is running a life design studio for higher ed professionals. And I will go. And so we applied to go and we were accepted. And so four of us from Trinity were able to go to Stanford in June of 2017 and spend a week there learning the ins and outs of the of design thinking, of life design, how we can, you know, how we can bring it back to our students on our campuses and, you know, ultimately, you know, help students obviously design their lives, find meaning and purpose in all of it. For those that don't know what design thinking is, I think the best way to define it is it's creative problem solving that's collaborative, it's multidisciplinary. So you're getting a lot of, I think design thinking, I think when people hear the word design, they fall into, well, I have to have a design background. I have to have been an engineer or gone to an MFA program. It's really not. It's really bringing multiple perspectives, diverse perspectives into the room around creative problem solving. And so, and that's what Stanford wanted. And so we spent this week and the four of us came back from Stanford and just had so many ideas. And so we started implementing. We had different programs that we launched. I've taught a couple of different courses. Most recently, I taught a course just this past January in a J term called Designing Your Future Work. And so what I did, Eric, was I took the concepts of design thinking and implemented and introduced the students to those tools and how you can create a problem solve. And then what I did was I flipped it towards the students and said, well, now you're thinking about your career and the future of work. And as we all know, the future of work is on us. We are experiencing tremendous amounts of disruption. You talk about technological disruption with, you know, artificial intelligence and machine learning. Automation, all of those things are impacting, you know, taking away jobs, but also opening opportunities for new jobs. And then we're talking about pandemic disruption, ecological disruption, economic disruption. So we're experiencing all this disruption in our workforce. And so what I typically say to students is like, how do you prepare for something that's not quite invented yet, doesn't exist yet? And so, you know, being at a, you know, liberal arts institution in Hartford, I talk a lot about skills and the core career competencies that you acquire over your studies in a liberal arts institution, and how if you couple those with design thinking, this, you know, creative problem solving, I would argue that you're equipping yourself quite well for whatever the future of work throws at you. I would also just like to throw a caveat out there is there's a wonderful researcher out there, Michelle Weiss, who's just written a book called Long Life Learning, I think is the title of it. But she really pushes us to think about the importance of lifelong learning, that we're going to need to upskill and reskill throughout our career. People are living longer. I think right now there's like five different generations in the workforce. And so if I'm a supervisor, how do I prepare for that? But as a worker and bringing colleagues together, collaborate and to work together, it's a challenge. But I think there's definitely opportunity for us to use design thinking around that creative problem solving when we have these different generations together. And so that's really been important to me personally. It is actually, when we went to Stanford, I was actually out of career development for about 2 years. I took a job at Trinity to run marketing and communications. And at the time when my former boss handed me that book, I was not in career development, but I read that book, said, I need to get back. And then ultimately got back at Trinity, became the director of career development. And my job has evolved over these last, 3.5 years now. And so, you know, for me, it was a meaning and purpose moment as well. So it was just that book just brought a lot, and that opportunity to go to Stanford really opened me up to a lot of really good opportunities that we've implemented here at Trinity.
That's fantastic, Joe. And it's fascinating to me. You know, Eric and I have talked on the show and even offline some about the pandemic. And, you know, what's interesting about it is that everybody's going through it, higher education included. And so we've all had to learn to pivot and to rethink the way that we communicate, the way that we work, the way that we interact. The lessons that you're speaking of with design thinking, do you believe that any of those lessons were sort of more focused, or maybe not forced, but encouraged to come to the forefront more rapidly because of the global pandemic?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me and the conversations I've been having with students, I think there's a couple things at play. I think this embracing of failure and trying stuff, what we call prototyping, is really important. Because I think, obviously, you know, I think the way society is constructed, especially our college students, is they seek this perfectionism. They seek, I got to have the best SAT scores. I have to have, you know, honors classes, AP, and it gets consumed with them in high school, and they come into college and they're so fearful of that failure. And what I think the pandemic has provided us is the space to, like, don't be afraid to try stuff. Don't be afraid to embrace that failure so that you can learn from it. There are so many opportunities out there. And we talk about really, and I think this has really helped us, is when you think about this drawing direct lines from major to career, this bridge, so to speak, I would love to just get rid of that whole thought. I was a history major. I had no thoughts of being a history teacher. And I remember having this very point. I was a first generation college student. I remember having this conversation with my dad. I called him, and my dad had worked in IT. My mom was a realtor, but neither of them had gone. I think my dad went to college for a hot second. He never really finished a full semester. And I went to college really not knowing. I left my bubble of Philadelphia, went to Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York. And it was just an open opportunity for me to just try stuff. I had no idea what prototyping was. I didn't know what design thinking was. So I'm not trying to pretend that I knew that, but I was open to trying stuff. What I really fell in love with was learning history and living history. I don't know if many people know about Marist, but it's in Poughkeepsie, which is right next to Hyde Park, which is where FDR grew up. I got to hold letters that FDR wrote. I got to hold letters that he, you know, like policies and just really cool documents. And just being in that was just fascinating to me. And so for me, I always talk to students like, don't say you're picking a major because you want to do X. Listen, if you want to be a nurse, you go study nurse. If you want to be an engineer, you got to go be an engineer. You got to be an engineering major. But after that, there are so many things that you can do. And I think the pandemic has just loosened up some of these thoughts that we can actually try things and not have to link direct things, especially when it comes from major to career. I don't believe in it. I think there's skills. Focus on your skills, because those are the things that are going to be by your side all the time, you know? And there are always, again, I think, as I talked about before, lifelong learning. If there are gaps, embrace the gap. And I'm not saying you have to go to grad school and get another degree. I'm saying go to LinkedIn Learning, go do a, you know, online badge and get some certification, read. I mean, those are the things that I'm really trying to impress upon students. And I think the pandemic has brought that openness to it, you know, throughout the process. So that embracing the failure and trying stuff, that prototype.
Joe, you hit on a really critical point here, and you've mentioned now a couple times about reskilling, upskilling, and the value of that for students in this, you know, post fourth industrial revolution space, right? And needing, and here is me speculating a little bit, but I imagine it's some combination of technical or hard skills, as they're often framed, and then also sometimes the soft skills or the professional skills, right? And so I'm wondering, from your perspective, what are you seeing emerging as some of the most important hard skills and professional skills that you can maybe impress upon students?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I'm not a big fan of like hard versus soft. But I think for a lack of, you know, what actually there's a great piece that Michelle Weiss is a part of, which is this piece called Robot Ready, which is human plus skills for the future of work. So we call them technical and human skills, right? I think the human skills that really continue to poke their head out there in great importance when you speak with employers and hiring managers is this ability to communicate. But there's so many layers to communication that I think are critical. And I think one of the things they're oftentimes overlooking is this active listening. Actively listening and absorbing the information that you're hearing, not just listening to respond. I think that's an important skill, being able to just speak. I'm not saying get up there in front of 500 people and do a presentation. I'm just saying hold a conversation, you know, be able to tell your story, stick by your brand. But also, you know, to be able to work in teams, we're talking about technical competencies, being able to adapt to changes. Because again, as I mentioned before, this technological disruption is on us. And so things are changing. I mean, think about this, like, think about how little we use Zoom. A year ago, it was there, we used it. And now it's like a majority of my day. So how do we learn the nuances of these new technologies that are pressed upon us? And so I think those are really key skills that we need to think about, is that being astute to the changes in technology and embracing them to be successful in whatever work you do. Again, because, you know, as we look at, you know, first year students right now, they're graduating the class of 24. Their second job probably doesn't exist right now. And I call this back to a time, and Michael, again, going back to what you said early on, is, you know, thinking about communication. I mean, think about social media for example. I graduated college in 2000. We didn't use social media. We used instant messaging on AOL, right? That was it. Like, that instant messaging was our thing. But look how fast social media was thrust on. You know, you had MySpace, Facebook, Instagram. I mean, they just came up so fast. But now you have jobs in social media. You can make a career. And that's not something I would have gone to college for,
right?
In the 90s, in the early 2000s. But here I was in 2011 overseeing social media for an enrollment in 2015, overseeing enrollment and student success social media channel. It was a job. And so do I know what that's going to look like? I do not know. I think it's really going to depend on how artificial intelligence comes in and how that's implemented into the work. How automation is and what jobs go away, but also who needs humans, what quote unquote robots need that human interaction or that support. And so I think just being adaptable to technology and again, being able to communicate across the board is going to be critical skills that you have to hold on to for whatever the future is.
Joe, it's brilliant. And you bring such a unique perspective, CEIA. And I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about your specific role with CEIA. I know you're leading or co-leading really cool endeavors or projects or programs that I think our audience would be very interested in hearing about, if you don't mind sharing a little bit.
No, I actually saw a really good opportunity when I came back onto the board and took this vice president of professional development role in, I believe it was like October, November of 17. I saw a blank canvas. I saw this opportunity to build something cool. And so one of the things we did was just we started to create more frequent webinars. I think everybody's going to webinars these days as we've moved into pandemic times. And so that's not as exciting as of an initiative, but it takes a lot of work to run, you know, we run them every other month. So that's one component of the job. But beyond that, we've been able to, we run a, what we call as a CEIA Academy, which runs every June. And these are for new professionals in the field. These are new professionals in experiential learning or career development, usually within 1 or 3 years. And the first year we did that, we actually rebuilt the curriculum, and the basis of the curriculum is built around design thinking and having people, these young professionals, you know, come to, we actually do it in Vail, Colorado. So it's a pretty nice opportunity to get out of your office. And I mean, it is beautiful if you've never been there. But to be in a 2.5 day immersed experience, and we kind of take you through all of these different elements of design thinking, but also we implement pieces of like the DACOM, how to build a curriculum for experiential, introducing budgets to new professionals. It's a really great training for someone, again, who has just entered this space. And again, do a 2.5 day immersive experience. And so we actually took, I took people through wicked problem solving and how they might solve problems in a different way. But then we also looked at how do you brainstorm differently? I think, you know, if you think of brainstorm, I think a lot of people envision sitting around a table, maybe just throwing ideas out. And it's so much different than that under this, under how design thinking does it, where it's way more active. It's design thinking doing, and it's brainstorming with post-its, and you're moving around the room and you're collaborating. I think that radical collaboration is, weren't able to go back in to Vail in 2020, and we will actually be doing this virtually. So we've actually done a little bit of a pivot. I think that's like the word of the year, pivot. And so we've pivoted and reframed, and we're running virtually in Vail for the second year in a row, where we'll do just 4 sessions that, you know, function on the curriculum, and myself and another individual, Makisha Dockery from Georgia State University, we're actually going to be doing an empathy exercise and leading people through empathy while thinking about all the disruption that's happening. And Makisha has come up with a really cool acronym for PIVOT, and she teaches that component, and I cover sort of the empathy side of the design thinking. And so we'll be teaching that. We're going to be doing another one where you manage up. So how are you early career? How are you managing up to your manager? So that's virtually in Vail. And then we actually have just implemented a pre-conference session training for mid-career professionals. That actually happens, if we were in person, it was going to be the day before the conference actually started, and it's for mid-professionals. And we built in the entire theme is has design thinking elements, it's life design elements trickling through, and it's managing you, the professional, managing you, the person. So really thinking about that self-care. And I think a lot of people have taken that to heart over the pandemic, is really taking care of yourself. And then, so you're managing yourself, and then you're managing your managing up. But then you're also, how do you manage people? And so it's really that we called it managing you. And so it's a really cool pre-conference session. We have 4 or 5 speakers that are from all different areas, in the continent. We have actually someone from Canada that's going to be teaching in the program. And it's again, really earmarked for someone in the mid career. So those are just a little quick sampling of the things we've implemented from the professional development side at CEIA.
Joe, you're super involved, and I love your passion for teaching, training, and the design thinking orientation. I have some good notes I've taken already in terms of future reads that I need to add to my Amazon Kindle in the near future. So this is awesome. One thing you've mentioned is you've hit on these ideas of flexibility and this receptive nature to change, preparing for jobs that may not exist, by the time you graduate. And for some, I imagine that's probably a daunting thing to try and conceptualize. Do you have recommendations for higher education faculty, practitioners, in terms of how do you best prepare students to enter the workforce and to be confident in their ability to contribute, recognizing that maybe by the time they graduate, the job that they anticipated no longer exists, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys have all the good questions today, let me tell you. you know, I think one of the things that's not happening, and it was alluded to in the Rosetta, in the Robot Ready piece, I talk about a Rosetta Stone, so finding a common language. I think higher ed needs to do a better job, and I think it's up to career development to do a better job of working with companies and communicating learning objectives and learning goals, but also what are the expectations? Where are the training opportunities? And I think what we've started to see is companies have gotten nervous about investing in people because I think the research shows that, you know, most entry-level people leave their job within 2 years, something like that. And so companies don't want to invest in people that are going to take off in a year. But that puts more pressure on higher education to send these career-ready people. I really believe there needs to be a better collaboration between colleges and employers. And so I think, you know, while that doesn't necessarily answer your question, I just think if I could give advice to career professionals is engage your employer partners in a better way. Have these really important conversations about how to prepare students in the right way. I think colleges are starting to do a better job at this. And I think it'll be really interesting when we return from this post-pandemic life that I'm hoping that we don't go back to normal. I really want to come back to something new, to something different with the foundation and the history of who we are. And so for me, I think, engaging in those conversations, but I think colleges can help students find their people, find their network, pay it forward, but also helping students prepare for anything that's thrown at them. And I think just taking, you know, implementing some of these ideas of disruption and how disruption can be embraced and not scary, because it is scary right now. There's a lot of fears entering, you know, I'm looking at the class of 20 and 21. And my heart breaks because they didn't, first of all, get the last college experience that last year or last 2 years for the class of 21. And many of them didn't get a commencement, opportunity to walk, you know, to get their diploma. So my heart breaks for them, but I'm just mindful of, you know, where are the opportunities for us to provide assistance? Where can we help them identify their skills? Because a lot of times students don't identify skills. They focus so much on experiences, but let's help them extract those skills and storytell around those skills, show their personal brand so that they can be prepared for whatever that future of work is. And so finding that theme, and, you know, I think it's, you know, the faculty to help that with that storytelling, building that narrative, and helping students extract those skills. So, you know, I oftentimes I'm going to go on a tangent a bit here, but we see so many times that students are, you know, working for their 4 years in an office on campus, whether it's admissions or in athletics or in IT as a help desk person, but they bury it on their resume because it's not an internship. That's experiential learning. It's not a formal co-op. It's not a formal internship, but there's so much value there that students aren't identifying. And it's our job to help them. It's our job, and we're actually in the process of building out a meaningful work where we can help students identify that. And we're actually training supervisors and student workers to help students as well. Wow. To identify skills and extract those and then sell them, because that's how they prepare for the future of work. It's that upskilling. Yeah, I have these skills. Look at this. I don't just have experience. So I think that's going to have to change. I would love to see that be the trend. Students are able to identify the skill.
Joe, that is wonderful. It inspires me to think about coming out of the other side of this pandemic better than we went in. Mm-hmm. You know, in previous shows and just conversations, I've heard people talk about the there's an upside to what happened through COVID, and many of the things you're discussing here, I think, signal that. So for those in our audience here that want to potentially plug in to some of the opportunities through CEIA, or just reach out to you to learn more about your work and your network, ways that they could collaborate, what is the best way to reach you and learn more about some of those opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, Michael, as you know, I'm an open book. I'm transparent. I'm a communicator. Just reach out. I'm on Twitter at jcatrino, so J-C-A-T-R-I-O. Connect me on LinkedIn. You can email me at Trinity College, which is just joseph.catrino@trincol.edu, T-R-I-N-C-O-L-L.edu. You know, connect with me at a conference, you know, introduce yourself. I'm happy to collaborate. I'm doing a ton of collaboration right now, you know, across life design. I'm still really involved with the Life Design Studio for Higher Ed Professionals. If you're interested in learning about that, I mean, I have to give them a plug because, you know, without them, I don't think I'd be sitting here. You know, and so, you know, please reach out. I would love to collaborate, talk, connect with me on LinkedIn, whatever works.
Well, Joe, we really appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This has been a production of the Experience Magazine podcast brought to you by CEIA.